there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Man, thank you. Good morning. You guys with it? You awake? Raring to go? Who wants to go into like Lake Ponderay and be baptized? Right? No, seriously, June 6th, we've got someone, a young gal that wants to be baptized, so I get to go get cold in the lake. What a blessing. Man, it is so good to be here worshiping with you guys. I'm just grateful for our worship team and just leading us in praise this morning. It's just, God's good, isn't he? He good. Well, today's a little bit of a unique message, so I do have a brief message, because we've been in a series that I want to continue to move us along in, but then we are going to take some time, Corey and Patrick and myself, to just talk about vision, like where we're headed in the future, and kind of bring you guys up to speed on some areas in our church, opportunities that we have. But Patrick started last week. We started a series called Forged, and if you think about Forged, he asked the question last week, what's the first thing that comes to mind? And some people thought about forgery, like fake money or whatever, a copy. But really, the intent of this series, he used this slide, this picture of a crucible. If you guys know what a crucible it is, it's for heating up metal so that the impurities come to the surface so they can be scraped off, right? The dross, all the nasty stuff in our lives that God wants to bring out. He uses the circumstances of this world to change, to purify, to clean up our inner person so that we can reflect Jesus more and more, right? That's this picture of being forged, that heat causes transformation if we allow it. But as Americans and as Christians, so often we want to just jump out of it, right? It hurts. None of us, does anybody in here like trials, by the way? I didn't think so, right? None of us do. And yet there's this picture that when we persevere underneath these trials, that God can use those to bring glory to himself by cleaning us up, right? And so each and every one of us is on a journey as God is working in and through us. Now, this week, we're in 1 Peter. And so if you guys, we're going to be in 1 Peter for the next several weeks, I would encourage you to read ahead. But 1 Peter is a great read. There's a whole bunch in here. We're not going to be able to get to it all today. But this week, Peter is exhorting the church. He's exhorting us to live holy lives, right? To live holy lives. Is that intimidating to anybody in here? Like, you're called to live a holy life? Like, how? When you look in the mirror, when you get up in the morning, and then you think about, I'm supposed to live a holy life, how do you reconcile that? Does anybody in here have a good handle on that? Yet, Scripture's really clear. I want to start, because I think this message applies and sets up where we are today as a church and where we're headed. So I want to read some Scripture, and then we'll develop us a little bit more. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, Peter says this, therefore, in other words, in chapter 1, Patrick talked about the fact that we are a chosen people, that we have been given this inheritance. As we've been saved, we've been given this inheritance, and yet while we endure our trials, there is this promise that the Lord is coming back for us. Can I get an amen on that, right? Are you guys awake yet? Are we going to do some jumping jacks here? We had such a crowd last service, it was like, wow. You guys are chilled. But let's read what the Word of God says. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, at the second coming of Christ. He goes on to say, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Whew. That's a tall order, right? It's a tall order. But note, I want you to notice a couple of things in here. First of all, the word holiness really means to set apart, okay? It means that we set our lives apart for the things of God, and we don't live our lives for ourselves. That's what it means to live holy, okay? Now, that process, that journey of setting ourselves apart is a very dynamic, arduous process, right? We're all in it. We all understand it. But he says something. He says, notice that we are to prepare our minds for action. So what is the action that we're to prepare for? To live our lives set apart. And I want to challenge you in this. In all of the spheres of our lives. So what I mean by spheres is that we have a sphere where we spend time with the Lord. We're to set time apart so that we grow, that we hear the voice of God, that we receive through the Spirit what God wants to do, not only in us, but through us. But we're called to set ourselves apart with our families. We're to minister to one another. We're to lead our families in the way of the Lord, right? We're to be set apart in the workplace. We don't stand around the cooler and chirp the same stuff that the world chirps, right? We're to be set apart. We're to relate and to love one another, but we're called to be different in this world that he's given us to live in. Amen? And the only way that we can possibly do this is to have our eyes on eternity, right? It's the only way, because the minute we are on the temporal, we want to fit in to the temporal. Right? Is it, you guys get that? We want to fit into the temporal because it feels better and easier just to be like everybody else, right? But it isn't until we have our eyes on heaven, on God, and the hope, the certainty, the confidence in what he has given us and what he promises for us that we can live differently in the here and now. And that's what Peter is, that's what he's exhorting the church to do. And he says, put off your old self. Don't live in ignorance like you once lived. Don't live the way that you used to. But remember that you are in a process, like I just said, where God is refining you so that you become more and more his image bearer. In other words, the dross of your life is scraped off and people see more of Jesus than they do of Jim, right? That's the goal here for each and every one of us. We're to be holy. We're to be set apart. So then Peter goes on into chapter 2, and he talks about that we're to rid ourselves of all this stuff that hinders us. And it actually, these are vices that hurt the church. And he says this in 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 4. As you come to him, that's to Jesus, the living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, there is a whole bunch in here, but I was thinking about how do I give you guys a picture of what a living stone is? And I was thinking about the fact that in our nation, there's still some still standing, but we have monuments that point back to some historical event or some person that did something that was very noble, right? And we have these monuments, and yet they're dead, right? They're about the past. But we are like living stones because we are alive in Christ Jesus. We are relevant, and we have something to offer for today. We are living stones, we are living monuments that represent our Lord Jesus Christ to a fallen and broken world. And so what Peter is doing is he's using Old Testament metaphors to give us New Testament realities. The Jews thought that Jesus was not relevant and they wanted to cast him away. That's why Peter goes on to say that people that reject Jesus will fall over the stone. They'll fall over Jesus because you've got to do something with Jesus. You can't just sidestep him. You will fall over him. So Peter is reminding us, number one, that if you're a follower of Christ, you are like a living stone. Do you believe that today? You represent the Lord Jesus with your very lives. Number two, we collectively, as a church are to be a spiritual household, a spiritual building. Now, I'm going to talk about a physical building in just a couple minutes, but right now it's important that we are a spiritual household, right? That we are living, we are like living stones under the cornerstone. That's Jesus Christ. Amen? We are to be a holy priesthood. Man, there's so much in here, you guys, and I can't hit on it today, but Peter again uses an Old Testament metaphor because the high priests that would go in and make sacrifices, what did they sacrifice? They sacrificed animals, right? They would kill animals. And they were a type of a priest. They were a type, meaning they were incomplete, but they were a picture of what God's initial heart was for a priest. You see, we are a holy priesthood. We're not anointed to be priests through the law so that we can sacrifice animals. When we come to the saving knowledge and grace and receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior and are baptized, when we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we ourselves are invited. We are a part of the priesthood of believers. You believe that? And now the sacrifices that we make are completely different than the Old Testament sacrifices. What are the sacrifices that we make? We lift up God like we did in worship and praise. We praise our Lord, and we do that by loving others, by loving God, by loving others, and by serving. Okay, that's our act of spiritual worship as members of the priesthood of believers. We are to worship, please God. We are to do things for God to please Him. And the things that He's given us to do are to administer His grace, His mercy, and His love to one another while we serve and minister. Can I get an amen? Isn't it great that we don't have to go around sacrificing animals? I mean, there's nothing wrong with tipping an animal over for food, right? But we're not going to sacrifice an animal on the altar. Isn't that good? But here's what I would say, you guys. We aren't the high priests or a type of priest by accident. We don't stumble into priesthood, right? We can't stumble into priesthood. Here's the way that our priesthood is authenticated, that by faith we are committed to Jesus. Matthew 4:19, the definition that we use for what a disciple, a true follower of Christ is, one by faith who is committed to following Jesus, one who is committed to being changed or transformed by Jesus, and one who is committed to the mission of Jesus. Okay? That's what it means to be a holy priest, that we are committed. We are committed to loving God and loving others, the great commandment. It's Matthew 22. What does it say? Jesus says, all the law and the prophets are summed up in these two commands. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? This is what it means intentionally to be a holy priest of the Lord. But we are most effective as holy priests when we collectively, as the body of Christ, live out the great commandment and live to fulfill the great commission. What's the great commission? It's Matthew 28. You guys know Matthew 28? Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching you to obey all that I've commanded. That's what Jesus is saying. And He says, lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age. We become the priesthood of believers as we lock arms together, fulfilling the great commandment where we love God and love others with all that we possibly can. And then we go on mission with Him to fulfill the great commission. That's what we're called to do. And so, guys, come on out. Patrick and Corey, we're gonna transition a little bit because this brings us to our family talk today. And here's what I would say: this is not like a stern family talk, like we've done something wrong here. This is a good family talk, unlike maybe some of your experiences with, I don't know, did you have a dad that said, we're gonna have a family talk, and you knew that was like...
That usually didn't go the very best in my house.
It didn't go very well, did it? No, this is more about vision and what the opportunities that we get to have. And so
Hey, first of all,
yeah.
Only in North Idaho can you say the terms tipping over an animal in a church service and everybody's okay with it, right?
You guys get what I mean.
Lori and I were sitting over there like, did he just say tip over an animal?
That's anyway, what happens if you're a good shot,
yeah,
right?
Right?
Never I done hope, that. Anyway.
Unfortunately, I haven't done that very much.
Dennis is over there laughing because he shot a bull this year. Mm-hmm. Well done. Yeah, well, how do we digress to that? Was that your
my fault?
We just had to throw that one.
All right. Okay. But here's what I want to talk about just for a minute. We talked about the fact that we are a spiritual household. But many of you know, has anybody driven by the property lately? Do you know where it is on Highway 54? What are you seeing happening there? Progress, right? It's exciting. Mm-hmm. You guys, this is a great, great opportunity that each and every one of us has. But I want to share with you that just because we're working on a building does not mean our vision and mission has changed one iota. It just becomes a resource to help us do it better, right? And so, you guys, we're a church that really wants to join where God's at work. And God has been at work, and he's been revealing and showing, and we're walking by faith. This is no little project, right? We're walking by faith right now. But we want to have a building to better resource reaching the lost and the hurting. Now, you guys, for months and months, I've been just like thinking, waking up about ideas that we can use the building for. And a passion and a desire of mine is, you guys, we have great cooks in this church, like really good people that cook, and we're going to have a nice kitchen. And I want to do a Thanksgiving feed for our community where the lost and the hurting can come.
Yeah.
You know, and we get to serve them with our kids and grandkids. I mean, what a privilege that is. We can't do that here. I wish we could, because we'd be doing it. But we want to use it as a training facility, a means to launch groups and people out to reach this area. I mean, one of the things that I've wanted to do for a long time is a marriage workshop. And a parenting workshop, because I think we all need to be reminded of some really important principles that help us to have healthy families. And so having a facility gives us the ability to do some really creative things to invite people in. The potential is endless here. And other ways of making our building available for our community. And you know, one of the things that some of you have served at the Post Falls campus for years. We have served the community, and the communities use that building time and again. And you know what it does? When people are hurting and the bottom of their lives drop out, they go, those people are nice. I've been in that building. They're gracious in there. I'm going to go there and check it out. We want to be a familiar place to this community, right? And we all get to be a part of that. What a privilege, right? Doesn't change our vision and mission. Doesn't one iota. So here's what I would say as I get ready to turn this thing over. There's a number of you in here, a lot of you, that have been incredibly faithful. Three and a half years plus of this mobile church out of a trailer, multiple trailer deal, right? You guys, get up. You're here. We had two new men join us this morning at 6 a.m. to help us unstack chairs and wheel them in. It was so much fun. Mm-hmm. It was great. You know, thank you guys. Yeah. But not only have you served, but you've given time in a lot of different ways. You've been faithful to tithe and even give above and beyond. Mm-hmm. And here's what I would say. You know, the church can shoot its mouth out about all that it does, but the true understanding of the church's impact is not what it says, but what it does. Mm-hmm. And we have the favor of the Lord on us because you guys have been obedient and faithful to administer through the various gifts that God's given you. Mm-hmm. And that is so special. So I just want to say thank you, you guys. I am so proud to minister alongside of you guys. Mm-hmm. The things we have been able to do is amazing.
Yep.
You know, the Lord is just doing it. But for those of you that have just recently joined us or are checking us out, man, I need to say this to you guys. We are genuinely glad that you are here.
Amen.
Whether you have received noise and nonsense from other parts of this community, I don't care. You know why? Because we're kingdom people here. And God moves people various places so he can accomplish his purposes for his kingdom. And we get to partner together. Isn't that great? And so some of you are coming in here from other states and having different experiences. We welcome you. You bring with you a wealth of experience that we need. Like we, guys, here's what you need to know about our church. There's no bench warmers. Mm-hmm. We're in the game. And we want to create as many places and opportunities for you guys to join us, right? We need to work together using our gifts. Here's what I would say in my final bit. Have I gone over the time already? Probably. Yeah. I like to talk. Okay, Corey, look at just these guys looking at each other. So you guys don't have to be like, PhDs in math to figure out that a building costs a lot of money, right? Anybody realize that? And here's what I would say. We, first of all, many of you have given, and thank you. But we have opportunity to participate, and so I'm going to share the love. I said this first service, and I got a real laugh out of it. It just came out of my mouth. But Post Falls, that campus is not our sugar daddy. They don't exist to resource what God is doing up here. Now, they help us, and we leverage, we work together, and we partner together, right? But I would say that we up here have ownership, and we have a part in this. And this building takes money. And so we are going to have opportunities coming for you to give, but we ask that you pray, and that we've set up a website that if you want to go to that, Cheryl, we set up a website. If you click on ours, you go to North Campus. And then in North Campus, there's a radio button right there that says how to give, give to the North. It takes you to a Build the North webpage where we're going to have updates on the building and different videos for you to see and pictures if you drive by it too fast on 54, for those of you that speed, right? And so then we're going to reach a point where we're going to be asking more and more for you guys to contribute and be a part of that. And we're not apologizing for it because we get to be a part of kingdom work, and there's no greater blessing in life than that. So I just encourage you guys to be prayerful about it, but once again, step out and trust God and be a part of what God's doing here, you guys. We will reach this area because God is, he's leading us that way. Whew. All right, so you know, question.
Just really quick to go back to what you were saying about, and I've got to be part of the community here for about 16 years now, in life groups and marriage ministry, and then I came on staff like 8 years ago, and we had a pretty solid group of people that we had a community with, but you know what I've got to experience seeing what the hand of God's doing this last 3 years is he's bringing people in from out of different states that love the Lord and actually want to be a part of it. I just haven't got to see that until now. So I really believe that God's called you, if you're a new person that's come here, to be a part of this. And we are thankful that you guys are here. Yeah. I hope you guys hear that.
Yeah, we are. So, a question for you.
Okay.
Because we are growing.
Well, hold on a minute.
Okay.
Oh, there's a question.
There is one.
That everybody, there's two questions that everybody asks when it comes to the building. First one is, how much, right? Which we're not going to give you a number because there's still stuff that's being worked on that. But the second question that everybody wants to have the answer to, which Jim is going to answer this definitively, definitively this morning. What's the second question? When is this thing going to be done? And he actually has a definitive date that is guaranteed.
So can I
guaranteed beyond the shadow of a doubt?
Okay, I got to really work at this.
Walking in that building. Sorry, go ahead.
I got to put on my politician. I got to put on my politician voice here and say, no. Here's what I would say. Please pray, because our anticipation, providing that things continue the way that they are, that contractors, subcontractors, county, all those working relationships have to happen, pray that we're in early 2022. Yep. We would love to be in March, April, before Easter. Mm-hmm. You guys, I don't control this, but I would say we can pray collectively. I would love to be in that building before mm-hmm. Easter, right? Wouldn't you guys? Yeah. Did I answer that? No. I don't have a specific date.
That didn't sound very definitive to me, but I mean, you know.
I did my best to be transparent.
You did really. All right.
So I heard January 1st.
That's what I heard.
Jeez.
That's what I heard.
Well, you know, we can pray for it. I don't know. Hey, you never know. You never know. Okay, so, come on now.
Okay.
All right.
What are you going to ask me?
I can't remember. No, I know what I'm going to ask you. So with all this growth, because we are literally growing, what are you going to do about it from a discipleship perspective?
Yeah, so.
Like, what are you going to do about it?
It's all on my shoulders, no, huh? Well, many of you guys know me. I'm Corey Spear. I get to be part of overseeing the adult discipleship ministry. So the life groups, the men's groups, the marriage ministry, and Jim's overseeing the women's ministry. And I wanted to celebrate before we kind of go into, we have 18 life groups that are at maximum capacity for the North Campus, which is pretty awesome, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And out of those 18 life groups that are consistently meeting, we're running about over 200 people that are connected into a relational environment where they're experiencing a deeper relationship with Jesus and building relationship with one another in that process. One of the really cool things here is we're continuing to grow like crazy, and we're running about 500 on a weekend service. So if you were to take out of that 500, we count the children too. So there's about 100 of the little ones that are in children's ministry. That means there's 400 adults. And out of those 400 adults, over 200 of you guys are actually connected into a life group or a men's group or a women's group. That's over 50% of our church doing that. That statistic is like ginormous, you guys, because the average church in America is less than 100 people total. So it's something that we get to celebrate in a huge way, but we're also having some pretty serious growing pains as well. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we're seeing an average of 5 to 6 couples coming in for the first time every single week. And we want to keep them connected. But there's an issue with them coming in and then out the back door. Our purpose is to connect people into relationship. So that brings us into, what are we going to do about this? How can we get people, the extra 200 people that are coming, and then when we open up our doors at our church, January 1st? No.
So how are you going to address this?
Man, we're going to experience way more people. And so we want to be ready for that on the front end. My hope, my goal, now this is could be completely different from God's, but I think we're going to honor him on a target to try to hit. My hope is that we actually double our life groups by the time next May ends up. And so here's what I'd be asking you guys. Be asking you to humbly come outside of your comfort zone. Many of you have been journeying with Jesus for a long time. And we need life group leaders. We need 18 more life group leaders. And we need 18 more couples that would be willing to host a life group in their home. You know, a statistic what's pretty interesting is oftentimes we get people filling out a connections card to get plugged into a life group. And one of the reasons it's so hard is because we're at max capacity. But 10% of those people actually take that step to get plugged into a life group. And I can remember back when I first went into my life group, it was so intimidating to go up on the door and knock on it and try to go into a house where I had no idea who was behind that. It was a big step for me. And I think that's a pretty big barrier for a lot of people as well. But the statistic, if you have this personal invitation to invite somebody into your life group, the sticky factor just goes through the roof. This was a perfect example a couple weeks ago at our meet and greet. We had a new couple that had joined the church. They wanted to get connected into a life group. I went right over to Bill and Jeanette, introduced them, connected them, and they've been there consistently for like 3 weeks in a row, and they're actually serving in the church now. It's this relational connection where people feel like they can actually, okay, I can go through that door because I know who's going to be on the other side of that. We want to break that barrier from that. And something that Post Falls Campus has been doing really well this last year is called Join the Journey Groups. Now, what a Join the Journey group is they form groups together. So everybody would come in to sign up to get plugged into a life group. And they would go to the Post Falls campus. They would connect and build relationships in the small groups. And they had childcare provided. That's one of the really awesome things about our church and our eldership is they were willing to budget the labor for childcare so that we didn't have that burden in that. And so mom and dad are actually in an environment for 8 weeks connecting, building relationship. And after that 8 weeks, they take them to an identified host home and plant that group in a home. And then they do the thing all over again. And the success rate of people connecting and sticking to that is just off the charts. Man, we want to do that same thing here at our church. Our heart is that everybody here is in a relational environment where they can connect and grow closer to the Lord. And that's a responsibility that I have as a pastor, that these guys have as a pastor, that, man, we're called to train and equip you to go out into the world and make disciples of Jesus. Now, I understand not all of us will be a life group leader, but each one of us are a disciple of Jesus, and we are called to make disciples of Jesus. So here's my hope. Man, I would hope and pray that you guys would be willing to step outside of your comfort zone, take a risk. Man, this is going to be messy, but it's also going to be really good. And we're not going to leave you out on your own. We're going to have training and equipping available for you guys. I'm going to do my very best, but the reality is we need to rely on the leaders of the church to continue to shepherd the people. Man, I love all of you guys, but I don't have the ability to shepherd and care for each and every one of you. But we set this discipleship process where the leaders and people will connect and shepherd one another.
It's good. It's good. So, in wrapping up, why don't you tell us what's happening for you personally coming up real soon?
Yeah. You know, before I go into that, I wanted to say, if you're in that place, we want you to go back to the next steps table and talk to TJ. TJ is actually going to be taking the lead in a lot of this, getting people connected and started to lead groups. Again, I just can't say enough about how blessed I am as a pastor and a part of this church. I gave my life to the Lord here 18 years ago, and the value that our elders have on their pastoral staff and their staff is so special that they give their staff time off. So I get the blessing to take 6 weeks off on a sabbatical time to spend time with Melissa and my girls. And it's going to be hard because I've done this my whole walk with Jesus. So it's going to be kind of a challenge for me to unplug and slow down and all that. But I want you guys to hear this. We are a part of such an amazing church. I am so excited to be a part of what God's going to do this next season to launch where he's taken us. You might hear this word sometimes, man, the pastor's going on sabbatical. There's something wrong. Maybe he's on his way out.
You're not going anywhere.
I'm not going anywhere.
Hey, would you guys, would you be willing to just over the next 6 weeks, you know, Corey, I think your sabbatical starts end of this week, right?
Yep.
This is your last Sunday here, yeah, for 6 weeks. Would you guys just commit to praying for him and his family? I mean, it really is a unique opportunity that you and Melissa and the girls are going to get to just recharge. And it's not just Corey. It's his family that gets to go and recharge. So.
And we get to recharge from Corey.
And we get to recharge from Corey, yeah. Yeah, I'm scared for when he comes back. But just pray for him. Pray for him and his family, and pray that God would give him rest and time away and enjoyment. And it is such a blessing that we get to be a part of a church that borderline forces us to take time to go recharge. So it's really cool. My turn?
Go for it.
So I'm going to talk just for a few minutes about Next Gen. I oversee our Next Gen ministries here at Real Life North Campus. So I oversee children's all the way up through high school. And I've got an incredible team. We've got some volunteers that have just been knocking it out of the park. If you know who Adam and Amber are in our children's ministry, they're just incredible. And all of our volunteers, Paul and Janaea right here, they have been volunteering in our middle school ministry for...
Thank you for your faithfulness.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. And Titus, who is, I think Titus is actually in a team meeting right now, but you guys know he just came on staff and he's fired up. He actually is going to fully transition out of his role as a teacher and into this role June 18th.
Yay.
And so he's like, he's ready to go. He's ready to rock and roll. So we're in a really, really cool spot when it comes to Next Gen. We're in the process of hiring a children's ministry leader right now. We have somebody that we're talking to. We actually have a couple of people that we're chatting with about that. So God's doing some really, really amazing things. And as I think about this, and thinking about vision and future and all of that, the word that just keeps coming to mind, and honestly, these guys touched on it as well, is opportunity. God is creating opportunities for us to take ground for the kingdom in ways that in other seasons we really haven't had. And so as much as I can get frustrated when I pull up to my secret fishing spot and somebody's already there, right?
That was me.
It was Corey, yeah. Luckily, he's not a good fisherman, The fish are safe. But when we get frustrated about the growth that we're seeing or people in our hunting spots or whatever, the reality is this, you guys, is God is bringing people to our doorstep.
Yep.
And we've got to get outside of ourselves for just a minute and go, okay, Lord, what are you doing in this? And when it comes to the Next Gen ministries, when we say that we're seeing 5, 6, 7, 8 new families every single week, those are families that have children that are 0 up through high school that are looking for a place to connect with adults who love them and who want to introduce them to Jesus and help them grow in their walk with the Lord. That's opportunity, isn't it? And so the question is, are we gonna take advantage of this? And I would say a couple things about that. First of all, we better take advantage of it because I'm 34 years old, but I'm not gonna be around forever. You're what? I mean, 9?
Oh God,
70, Roger. My point is, Roger, you got some gray hair yourself, buddy. So. My point is this, we have to be thinking about who's going to lead this thing in the future as well, right? Would you all agree with that?
Yep.
So we want to raise up from our next generations, we want to raise up young men and women who are going to be our future leaders and godly parents, godly moms and dads who are willing to teach their kids like Deuteronomy 6 talks about to walk in the ways of the Lord. These are our future politicians, right? These are our future pastors. These are our future teachers. You name it. And so if you don't believe today that our Next Gen ministries are important, then we need to have a little chat because God is calling us to a great calling. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. We talked about this at last service as well a little bit. Not only is our Next Gen important for the future, but when I read passages like 1 Corinthians 12 that talks about the body of Christ, did you know that there's no age limit when 1 Corinthians talks about the body of Christ? In other words, we have young men and women in our church right now today that need to be playing an active role in what's happening today. And so we want to equip them to do that. We want to invest in the next generation. We want to help them not only get to know who Jesus is, but live a life. I mean, I'm praying and hoping that we see kids that go to college and they're not turned away from the faith because of what somebody says at college or an experience that they have. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that you guys get excited about that. You know, the truth is that we all play different roles in this thing. I mean, like Corey talked about excuse me, we need life group leaders. We need host homes. We need youth ministry leaders. We need people to hang out in the nursery and hold babies. but not every single one of those roles is for everyone. Did you hear that? Not every one of those roles is for everyone. And so would you pray about, here's what we're asking, would you pray about getting involved? Would you pray about leading a life group with your spouse? Would you pray about becoming a host home? Would you pray about joining our hospitality ministry and joining our youth ministry? And if God says, you know what, that's not the right place for you, or we meet with you and we say, you know, it's not the right place for you, I guarantee we will find a place for you that God has gifted you that fits. Does that make sense to everybody? So what are you hearing us say? Are we asking that you would just simply pray about what God is calling you to do next? Everybody hearing that today? And maybe that means that you step out in faith for the first time and you start tithing, knowing that every penny that goes into that tithe goes towards kingdom work. That's what we're asking you to do today. Just pray about your next step. What is it that God's calling you to do? Where is he calling you to get involved? And it's probably going to be outside your comfort zone, like Corey talked about. But we'll journey with you. Sound good?
Cool.
So real quick, any questions about next gen stuff or life groups or really anything, we're going to be out in the lobby. Paul Terry will be out there. Right, Paul? Thanks, Paul. He's like, surprise. Titus will be out there. We've got some folks that will talk to you about life groups and all sorts of different stuff. But we would love to just chat with you about what your next step is. Cool.
Sweet. Do you realize that you use the word politician and pastor in the same sentence?
We've used a lot of...
We need to stand and worship God.
We've said a lot of words today that we probably shouldn't, but you know.
Hey, you guys, just again, thanks for your service, your ministry. Yep. And we collectively are just super excited about where God is taking us. Please prayerfully consider where you might enter in. Amen. Well, let's worship. We're going to get out of the way. You guys take it from here, right? All right.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.